Your next speaker will be Larry Fife.
In August 2005, Newsweek and BeliefNet asked 1,004 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. Among the questions was this one: can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? Here are their responses. Evangelical Protestants, 68% said yes. Not evangelical Protestants, 83% said yes. Catholics, 91% said yes. And among non-Christians, 71% of those said yes. And if you think about it, their responses are quite interesting. Most people believe those of different faiths will be saved. Many think as long as you're a good person, as long as perhaps you pay your taxes on time or help people across the street or you don't lie, cheat, or steal, then certainly God is going to allow those people to enter into heaven. But even among the majority who view themselves as evangelical agree that as long as you have a belief system established, that you're going to go to heaven. But you know that Jesus Christ was asked the very same question during His earthly ministry? We find the same question being posed to Him in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 23. Then said one of them unto Him, Lord, are there few that are saved? And He said unto them, strive to enter at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able to. So here the same question that was posed to these 1,004 Americans by Newsweek, the same question was posed by those to Jesus. That is, will all who claim to be Christians, will all who say they're good people be saved, and will they enter into the strait gates to be with Jesus and our Heavenly Father for eternity? There are many that would suggest today that as long as you do believe, that you're going to be saved. But this isn't what Jesus is going to respond with. You see, Jesus is going to say to that individual that asked and posed Him that question in Luke chapter 13 and verse 23, that there would be few people that will be saved. That is, only those who abide in the will of the Father, that listen and do what God instructs them to do in His holy and divine word, are going to be those that are going to be saved. Many people think that they are saved. Or to put it another way, many people think that most everybody are going to go to heaven. You can ask the average person on the street if they're going to go to heaven. And they'll tell you, of course, you know, I'm a good person. I do those things required of me. I don't break the law. And I do everything in a good and decent and honest way. And they think these are the requirements that are going to get them into heaven. Yet, that's not what the Bible tells us. This certainly isn't what the Bible teaches us. Jesus taught that few individuals would be saved. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13, He said, many will be that want to go in, but many will want to enter into the wide gate. And wide is the path that leadeth unto destruction. But He said, but narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to salvation, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verse 14. We do well to remember that many individuals thought they were doing right according to what Jesus said, that claimed to be following the will of the Father. But Jesus Himself said to them in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will claim unto me, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have we not done many wonderful works, and cast out devils, and all these other things, Lord? But Jesus will profess unto them in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. These individuals thought they were doing what God had instructed them to do. But Jesus also replied to them that not everyone who thought they were doing right would be saved. Only those who followed the exact instructions that God has given us in His holy and divine word are going to be those that enter into the gates of heaven, those that are going to be found faithful. We realize, we look back in the book of Genesis, that there were only 8 souls that were saved on the ark. It tells us also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. We also see that only 3 individuals were saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, that 3 souls escaped that we find in Genesis chapter 19. And there were only 2 souls that entered into the promised land out of the 603 plus individuals. So does God limit salvation to individuals? Absolutely He does. He limits that salvation to individuals who only obey and follow His holy and divine word. That is, those who only listen to what He has to say and who are willing to follow specific instructions. Many people say, well, you know what, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. But is this what the Bible teaches? Can we simply go about looking into the Bible and taking out what we want from it and putting in what we think would better be added to the Word of God? Can you find your denomination in the Bible? Can you find the name of your church within the pages of the Bible? The Bible tells us that we have to follow the instructions which God has given us. Many people say, well, it really doesn't matter as long as we're good people, as long as we have faith and believe in God, that's all that matters for us to be saved. Yet we have the account of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, that they offered up strange fire or strange worship unto God, and God was not acceptable of this worship, and because of this, these individuals were struck down dead. If you were given instructions at your job to follow those instructions, and you were to tell your boss, you know what? I just really don't want to follow those instructions. I'm a good person. I mean well, but that isn't what I want to do. Would that be acceptable to your employer? Would you stay at that job very long, even if you had specific instructions that you had to follow to complete your job and to complete the task at hand? More than likely, you would probably warn more than once or twice, but after that, I have a feeling that your employer would probably let you go because you can't follow the instructions that were given to you. You see, there's a set of divine guidelines that God has given to us that we have to make sure that we follow to the letter. Jesus said that He was the only way to heaven and that He gave us those specific instructions to and follow. We have a standard that He has given us. In essence, you can say that we have a standard operating procedure, and that's the Bible. The Bible being the basic information that we have and must strive to follow that God has given to us. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, that means Jesus is going to give us instructions, just as He gave His instructions to the apostles, that He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that is the entire gospel. Not that which we pick and choose and not which we best think is going to suit our doctrine, rather than what God has instructed us to do. As some put it today, it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe. But where can we find that verse in the Bible? Does the Bible tell us it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you do believe? Many people simply want to point to John 3 and verse 16 and they say, you know, the Bible tells us as long as we believe we're going to be saved. That is, they have the once saved always mentality. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we also fail sometimes to look at the beginning of John chapter 3 when Jesus was asked what one must do to be saved. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Later we're going to find out the requirements that baptism is necessary for our salvation, just as He gave in that great commission in Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. And as He tells the disciples in Matthew 16, in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we cannot simply go to one verse and pull out our doctrine and think that's all that we need to do to be saved. The Bible is complete and entire. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto all good works. That is, the Bible makes us complete. But if we pick and choose different things out of the Bible, does that necessarily make us complete? Absolutely not. You see, God requires a standard for the Lord's church. When you go to different fast food chains and different restaurants, those that you know well, like McDonald's, when you go to McDonald's, you know that when you walk in and order a Big Mac, for example, that every McDonald's restaurant that you go into, the Big Mac is going to be exactly the same because they have a standard, a set guideline that they must go by. When I did mission work in Murmansk, Russia, which is in the northern part of Russia, as we flew into St. Petersburg, one of the first places that we came across was a McDonald's. We decided, you know what, let's go in and get us something to eat before we continue on with our journey. I ordered a Big Mac off of the menu, and you know what? That Big Mac all the way over in Russia tasted exactly the same as it does where I live now. So we know that in companies, they have a standard guideline, a standard operating procedure. That way it must be exactly the same across the board. Do we not think this also applies to our spiritual lives and our Christianity, that God requires His churches to be exactly the same across the board? Absolutely they do. The Bible tells us that we must salute one another. That is, the churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16 and verse 16. The Bible tells us what we must do to be saved, to enter into those gates of heaven with God. And if we don't follow those guidelines that He's given us, do you not think perhaps that we're going to be like those that were told in Matthew 7 and verse 23, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you"? I don't want to have to stand before my Heavenly Father on the day of judgment and hear Him say, "I'm disappointed in you." To hear Him turn His back on me and to see Him turn His back on me because I couldn't follow the instructions that He gave me. It's really good and politically correct for us to say today, you know what? Everybody's going to be saved. But what's the purpose of hell then? We can see the Israelites back in the Old Testament were warned time and time again if they didn't heed to God's instructions, if they didn't heed to what God had given them to do, that they were going to be punished. And for a while they would do what was required of them, and they would fall back into those same pernicious ways and do the same exact things over again. God said, if you continue to disobey me, eventually you're going to be punished. Remember in Revelation 21 and verse 8, it tells us those individuals, especially those that are fearful or not fearful and disobedient, shall have their part in the lake of fire. None of us want to imagine anyone having to suffer in eternity in hell. But God has to give us a warning. He has to let us know that if we're not obedient to what He tells us to do, there's going to be consequences for our actions. Just as we have consequences in disobeying the law and the society in which we live today, just as you might have consequences for your children when they disobey the rules which you give them. You love them, but yet you still have to punish them because you don't want them to fall into the same trap and do the same thing again. God does the same thing with His children. He tells us that if we don't follow His commandments, if we don't heed to the will that He's given us, then we're going to be punished. But we have to do it the way that God has instructed us to do it, not the way that we want to do it. Man's really good about coming up with their own ideas when it comes to religion and faith today. They think they know what God wants, yet they don't heed the instructions which God has given. They say, well, you know what? I think my way is better than God's way. But how self-righteous is that of us to say, you know what, we know better than God knows. God knows better than anyone, and God knows exactly how He wants us to worship Him, and God knows exactly how we must be obedient to Him. You see, if we continue to disobey God, there will come a day when everyone will stand before God on the day of judgment to give an account for those things that He has done, that we must be judged accordingly to the Word that He has given us. That is, the Bible is God's guideline and what He's going to open up, that we are going to be judged by those same words. And if we're not heeding to the doctrines by which we're going to be judged, do you think God will not ask us on the day of judgment and say, why didn't you follow my commandments that I gave you? Why didn't you listen to the Word of God that I was given to you to be an instruction for you in your life? Simply because we want to say, you know what? I'm selfish in that sense, and I only think about myself. We have to remember that God comes first. We have to remember that we have to put Jesus Christ in our life, and we have to be willing to sacrifice anything to follow Him, even if that means going against what everybody else in society says they disagree with. They say, you know what? All we have to do to believe or to be saved is to believe. Yet the Bible gives us instructions on what we must do to be saved to enter into heaven. It tells us that we must hear the Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It tells us that we must also believe that Word, Mark 16:15 and 16. It also tells us that we must confess the name of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32 and 33, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And finally, we must be baptized. After we repent, we must be baptized. The Bible tells us in Luke 13 and verse 3 that unless we repent, we're going to perish. And then we confess the sweet name of Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that we have faith that He died for us, and then finally were baptized in that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, to be raised as a new individual, a new man, and to walk worthily and faithfully with God. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, "We are buried with Him by baptism to be raised." That is, we come into the contact with that blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us and tells us what we must do. But if we don't listen to Him, if we don't heed to His instructions, then I'm afraid we're going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." The Bible tells us in Acts 2 and verse 38 that we must repent and be baptized, every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins. I had a lady tell me one time that I was studying the Bible with, she said Acts 2:38 wasn't in her Bible. I said, "Really? It's not in your Bible?" She said, "Yes, I tore that page out." Just because we tear it out of our Bibles, just because we take it away from what God has given us, doesn't mean that God has also instructed it to us. Doesn't mean that God has given us directions for us to follow that word. So you see, we can't get away from what God has given us, and that we're all going to be judged accordingly. We have to do well to remember the example of Cornelius. Remember, people will say, "You know what, as long as you're a good man, as long as you're a good person, then you're going to be saved." Yet we can see in Acts chapter 10, and the very first two verses that said Cornelius was a devout and he was a good man that feared and respected God, yet he wasn't saved just because he was a good man. It's easy for us to heed the doctrine to say, as long as you believe, you're going to be saved. Well, they were a good person, so I believe they're going to be saved. Yet were they really good enough to follow the commandments of God, to heed what God has given to us? We have the example of many religious groups today who say that, you know what, salvation is simply dependent upon your belief in Jesus Christ. Yet do we not think that God would require something of us, considering that everything that Jesus Christ went through, for us to show our devotion to Him, but to also that we must do something to come into the contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, other than saying we simply believe in Him? The Bible tells us that belief is a part of it, absolutely. But it also gives us the other instructions that we have to follow. What about the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 5? Those devout Jews that came to hear that first gospel sermon preached by Peter and the other disciples as they stood up to proclaim the precious message of Jesus Christ. And we see in Acts 2, beginning in verse 35 and following, that they were pricked in their hearts and they wanted to know, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" Peter didn't say, "Believe, and that's all you have to do." Peter didn't say, "Just confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved." Peter says in Acts 2 and verse 38, immediately following, after they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." So we know that they didn't simply say a prayer and they were going to be saved. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that all we simply have to do is to say this prayer, "Let Jesus come into your heart, and you're going to be saved." We can't find that passage of Scripture anywhere in the Bible. Belief is certainly important, and the Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." But where in that verse does it tell us that we have to say a prayer? Anywhere where you see individuals praying to God for salvation, salvation is not given after that prayer. Salvation is only offered to those after they've been baptized into the body of Christ. So we see certainly only those who are going to follow God's commandments, only those who are going to listen to what God tells them to do, are going to be the ones that are going to be saved. I heard a preacher say one time during a sermon that heaven is not going to be overcrowded. Why? Because Jesus gave the same answer in Matthew chapter 7. Many want to take the wide and easy path. Many want to enter into the wide gate. And few there be that will find the path to salvation that want to take the difficult way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to salvation, and few there be that find it, Jesus said. So we know that only those few that follow God's commandments, that heed to Jesus Christ, and that understand that He is the way, that no one goes unto Him except we go through Jesus Christ, then certainly, just as Jesus answered that question in Luke 13:23 and following, only few will be saved. Listen again to Luke 13 and verse 24. strive to enter in at the straight gate, he says. That is, do your best. Do your best to enter in at the straight gate, the difficult way. For many, I say unto you, Jesus said, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. Why would he say that? Because Jesus knew and understood that there would be those in the world that did not want to heed to the doctrine which God had given them. Man thinks that he knows better than God knows. Man thinks that he understands God's Word better than God, who gave it to the inspired men to write, than himself. Again, all Scripture is given by God's inspiration. It makes us profitable, that we're complete unto every good work that we need to do. But if we only take bits and pieces of that Word, if we only heed to small portions of that doctrine, do we not then have the complete picture which God has given to us? That is, all 66 books that God has given to us are divine and inspired, and we have to listen to everything that God tells us. And for us to enter into the straight gate, the few that are going to find the straight gate are the ones that are going to heed the commandments and the directions that God has given us. For those who obey, many think that all who believe in Jesus will be saved. They believe in the Lord, and they think that's all I have to do. They spend their lives in service to the Lord. But remember what Jesus said again in Matthew 7 and verse 21? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is, only those who follow God's commandments are going to be the ones that are going to be saved. We do well to remember that Jesus is the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Again, listen to this. Unto all those that obey him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. The end of those who do not obey the gospel, we find the account given in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Not all believers are going to be saved. Remember in James 2 and verse 19, it said that the demons also believed and they trembled because they understood who God was. Yet we know these demons were not saved. So can we simply say, because I believe in God, that I have a pathway, that I have a free ticket to get into heaven? It doesn't work that way. And the Bible tells us that it doesn't work that way. Some believe, but there are those that are willing to confess Him. People tell me all the time, you know what, yes, I believe in God, but I really don't want to have to practice everything that it tells me to do. It's a little too difficult to be a Christian. But really what it comes down to is us giving up our selfish ways and our selfish desires to follow and do something that's greater than ourselves. If we want to follow Jesus Christ, we have to do it on His terms and we have to do it His way. Remember, God knows better than man knows. We think we know better sometimes, but really what it boils down to is we want to do it for ourselves rather than doing it for God. Remember, Jesus told that rich young ruler that came to Him, he said, I had done everything else that he needed to do. Jesus said, well, then sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then we have the account of that rich young ruler walking away sad because he wasn't willing to sacrifice those things that he still thought he needed to follow Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to sacrifice things. Jesus told us that we have to pick up our own cross and follow him. That means living in a life of service to Jesus Christ and following and doing exactly what God tells us to do. So if we're going to stand before God on the day of judgment and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we receive that crown of righteousness because we're faithful, as it tells us in Revelation 2:10, then we have to heed to the entire doctrine that He has given us. We can't piecemeal the Bible together and think that we're going to enter into the straight gate because God says, you don't follow my instructions, all shall likewise perish. So what are the commandments that God has given to us then? For us to enter in to be added to the Lord's church, we have to take the step. We know that belief is certainly something that we must do, but how important is it past that step of belief? Well, for us to be considered Christians, for us to be saved, for that precious blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all those sins, then we have to do it on God's terms. Are you willing to take heed to the commandments that God has given to you? Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ today? To choose the path of Christ, the path of righteousness, the difficult path most certainly. But if you're ready to follow Him today, you have to make that decision. You have to decide today that you want to follow God and that you want to live faithfully for Him. And I'm not going to promise you that it's going to be easy, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be the best decision and the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. If you're ready to believe, that is, to take the first step, then you're ready to do all those things that God has commanded you to do. That is, you're finally ready to believe, and after you've heard the Word, that you believe the Word, that you're ready to cast away your former life, that you're ready to repent of all those sins, that you're ready to finally be a Christian. And it's difficult to give up those things that we once loved in the world, but you know it's something that's possible for all of us. Just like giving up a bad habit, perhaps maybe with the new year approaching, you want to give up smoking. You know that it's not good for you, but you're going to do it anyway, but you have to take that first step. That is, you're ready to take that first step. If you're finally ready to believe after you've heard the Word, to repent of your sins, to cast off the old ways of the world, all those bad habits putting aside, if you're ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ, just as it tells us in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you're finally ready to enter into that watery grave of baptism, to put on Christ in baptism, that is where you come into contact with that precious blood, to have all your sins washed away, then guess what? You have to take that step today. You have to decide to follow Jesus Christ, that is to step away from the old man that you once knew, to be buried with Him in baptism, just as it tells us in the book of Matthew, that if we want to enter in Matthew chapter 3, that we have to be born of water and of the Spirit. Remember, the question was posed to Jesus, are there few that will be saved? And again, Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. Why won't they be able to? Because they chose their own ways rather than the ways of God. That is, they chose to do what they desired rather than following the ways that God has commanded them. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if you're ready to follow Him today, make that decision. Make that commitment to follow Him. Make Jesus Christ the only and most important thing in your life, that you love Him, that you're dedicated to Him, and that you want to follow Him. And in that is where you will be saved and find true peace.